Welcome to the Daydream Podcast. I'm Jamie. I'm with Adrian, of course.
Yes, you are.
And together we are Daydream.
No, that just sounds like we're a really shitty boy band.
Well.
The main reason we did this podcast was for three reasons. It was for sport, for uni, and for our indoor soccer team. People would somehow get humor out of this. I feel like we actually have a lot of topics to talk about, but it's about a lot of non-events. Shout out to whatever episode we did that podcast. But it is, right? Like, it's a lot of, we're talking about a lot of things that aren't happening, a lot of things that haven't come to fruition.
Yeah, and it's, you know, all things that are only sort of relevant to us, I guess. But yeah, there's a lot of things that aren't happening that otherwise would be topics of conversation.
Okay. Well, if we're talking about things that aren't or haven't happened, let's talk about a hypothetical here. I'm going to throw out some questions for you and you can answer them yes or no. And I encourage our listeners to get in on the debate as well. But Jamie, if the footy season had proceeded, who do you think would be the premiers and who do you think would be the wooden spooners?
Probably a Richmond or a West Coast, I guess, for the premiership. It's hard to really say because things change a lot. The Spoon, I have no idea. Probably Gold Coast. But I wouldn't put Melbourne out of that conversation either.
The pessimistic in you had to come out with the... I needed to get that the sad football day, Jamie out of it.
I mean, I don't know what else I've got. Like, we didn't even... We've missed five seasons of football. You don't know what it would have been like if we were talking about the 2018 season, if we were podcasting then. Because I just would have been, I would have been over the moon. You would have been seen a completely different side of me.
Yeah.
And then it would have crashed down after the preliminary final and we're back to normal.
See, that's so funny because, like, I feel like in 5 years, the Melbourne Footy Club has gone through such a drastic change in a good way, like in a good way. But Geelong is in the same boat every year. And this isn't even a brag. This is like a, okay, things need to change kind of thing. Whereas the first year we did the podcast, I think it was like 2013, 2014, possibly.
2014, yeah.
We were top of the table, I'm pretty sure, in one of those years, or second, or whichever, right? And then losing a prelim. Then we get to the next year and, you know, losing a prelim. Then we lose an elimination final to your mop at one point. And if we had have told past Jamie that you would have beaten Geelong and Hawthorn on the way to a preliminary final, he would have slapped me in the face and said I was insane. He wouldn't have believed it.
I would have been loved to be doing the podcast when we beat you. That was one of the greatest moments of my life, no doubt about it.
It was a big game. Like, I remember that game. I watched it and it was such a low-scoring affair and it was actually kind of close up until the last quarter. But, dude, like, I've actually never walked away from a loss and, like, been happy for the other supporters. Like, I had an old lady next to me. And I'm not trying to call all your fan base old, but she was a Melbourne fan and she was next to me and she was with her other elderly friend. And the whole game, you know, there was a bit of banter, you know, yelling and stuff like that. And things were said, you know, in the crossfire. But at the end of it, before it even happened, we mended the bridge or whatever. And at the end, I actually shook her hand and I said, congratulations, your mob deserve it. And smash Hawthorn next week. And she was like, I bloody hope so. And I was like, I was glued to the TV the next week watching your mob, just thinking about that old lady, hoping that she would get that happiness. Of course, for yourself as well, mate. But it's nice to know that, you know, all of you as a collective, as Melbourne fans, got to experience a bit of happiness after dark days.
You know, there's once in what, 20 years, I suppose. You get it once every 20 years. I don't think I've ever seen a crowd like that loud and that for one team before. It's probably like, I reckon, 90% Melbourne.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean,
because it was a Friday night, I'm pretty sure, and a lot of Geelong people didn't travel down either. And also ticketing, like you guys swept it. And
I think Geelong fans had a feeling, but
yeah,
we being Melbourne, it's just, you just expect the worst. So like after we took five goals in the first quarter, I just assumed that we wouldn't kick another one ever again.
And I'm pretty sure when we came back, like, because we came back at some point, we kicked a couple back. And I remember the people next to me were just going like, oh, no. Oh, not again.
It was like a 2 or 3 goal difference in the second or third quarter. And then Dangerfield gets the ball. He hand passes it off. He gets it back. And he misses from about 10 metres in front.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay, that's a little weird. And then Hawkins, like, I don't know whether this is before or after. I think it was after, about 10 minutes later. Hawkins has the ball. He's lining up for a goal. And yeah. Selwood just decks. I think he decks Melksham. Like, Melksham took a dive, but he sort of...
Oh, he got him high. As a football as soon player, as that man.
As soon as that moment happened, I thought, this isn't Melbourne. This isn't something that usually happens. And I was pretty confident from that moment because there were just two things that don't generally happen when Melbourne are playing.
Nah. Well, it's funny. Like, that, I remember watching that game... with, like you said, like that feeling. A lot of Geelong fans had that feeling. We just weren't there. We weren't there that year. We were, I think, did we? I don't know where we finished. We finished sixth and you finished seventh or vice versa, the other way around?
Well, we were fifth, so you must have been eighth.
Oh, we were eighth. Yeah, that's right. Because it was your home game. That's right, yes. And, dude, like, I walked in there kind of like, we could lose here. But, like, when Hawkins was lining up, I actually thought, oh, here we go. Pulling the classic Geelong, you know, we're going to come back here and you know, put it away. And then when Selwood did that, decked whoever he decked, was the most one of the most appalling acts I've seen Joel Selwood do on a footy field ever. And he's a captain of the club.
It wasn't that bad though. It was just something you shouldn't be doing as a captain.
As a captain of a footy club who is already under the pump, who is getting, at that point, we're getting flattened and we were just starting to build momentum. And like you said, Dangerfield had just missed, so you kind of think, maybe we need a goal here or else it's going to get out of our grasp. And I think we were going to get within 12 points if we kicked the goal. So it's not like we were going to be winning, but we were going to get it within range. And yeah, I single-handedly walked away from that going, cool, you cost us the game. Not that he would have. I think you guys would have walked away with it just because of the way you played that day. But man, I was pretty irate.
I don't even know.
For that reason only.
I don't even know if we're... I think we were obviously a better football team that year, but I don't know if that even would have mattered by the end of it. I think we were just so high on emotion.
Yeah.
Nathan Jones kicks the first goal of the fourth quarter a couple of minutes in.
Yeah.
And that just sort of just sums him up as a footballer, you know, for everything that he's been through. And then Mitch Hannon grabs the ball on 50 and just runs it home. And just one of the greatest moments ever as a Melbourne supporter, which probably tells you a lot about our club. But it was a great moment. And I think I walked home and I just said to Candace, I just said, did that happen? I couldn't really believe it.
Yeah, it's a, you know what? And that's why I said, like, I was irate, obviously, about the Joel Selwood incident, what might have been. But at the same time, I walked away with a smile on my face, weirdly. And I'm quite a passionate footy fan, as you know. And for me to do that, it was a big thing. And that's not to be high and mighty. I'm not trying to be like, oh, you deserve something. Like, I'm not trying to be like that. I'm just mean like, it's probably the best loss I've endured, mainly because I was quite happy for yourself and, well,
That says a lot about you, because if that was Geelong and then you beat us, I wouldn't feel the same.
Yeah, but I think you made a good point. Like, it's all about like the successes over the years. Like, if you had told me this pre-2007, dude, oh my god, I can tell you some horror stories. Before we'd won flags, we'd lost 5 grand finals throughout the 80s and the 90s. I think 5 or maybe less, maybe 4. But still, like, we lost a lot of grand finals at the last post, and then. We got to the years where we should be competing. We have a great team. 2006 comes to mind. I know we won the flag the next year, but we finished ninth that year. And it was because the last game, I'm pretty sure, one of the big games, we played West Coast, the top team in the league that year, 2006. Remember that?
Yeah.
When West Coast played Sydney and Geelong played it. And we were 33 points up at three-quarter time. And then they kicked 6 unanswered goals and won the game by 3 points. And I'll never forget that. And I never forget that because that was the turning point for the club, which I always tell you, hey, dude, this is a turning point. And I know you're like, no, it's not. But hey, I was in the same position as you pre-2007.
You know, I would believe that, honestly, after our 2018 season, had it not been for a disastrous, one of the worst games I've ever seen a football club play in a preliminary final, and then one of the worst football seasons a team has ever played that would have made the finals the year before in 2019. Yes. So there's no way I can now believe that.
It's hard, isn't it? Because, but that's why I was excited to watch you guys. Like, and that's why I bring this topic up, is like, what could have been?
Like, how does a football club go from essentially, we didn't make the top four, but essentially top four considering where we finished.
Yeah.
To bottoming out and finishing second last.
I can't explain it. I always call it a hang. Like it's usually because of a premiership. Usually because of a premiership hangover. Like Hawthorn had it after 08. Bulldogs had it after 2016. A lot of clubs get it, but yeah, sometimes it happens to the prelim clubs. It's happened to North Melbourne bit, actually.
I think that was our grand final in a way, unfortunately. Probably said again, it says a lot about the type of club that we are.
I mean, but like I remember when this happened. And I think about it like a lot whenever we talk about, you know, the unfortunate season that preceded the great season of making the prelim, is that I watched the Melbourne West Coast game. I sat down like ready to go because I'm like, we could be witnessing some history here. They could be in a grand final. And like I know Bulldogs had won it from whatever, seventh. So of course, finishing from fifth, I guess, isn't as big of an achievement, but it's still a big achievement to get it outside the top four. And I just thought we were going to see something big here, beating West Coast on home soil and then play a grand final against who would you have played? Collingwood, right?
Yeah.
Shit. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, especially because 4 weeks before that, 3 or 4 weeks before that, we had beaten them on the same ground pretty convincingly in one of the best games I've ever seen us play. And then to go that preliminary final, I was actually seeing the words like, for a spot in the grand final, something I would never have thought I'd see. And then, yeah, the first 10 minutes was pretty much over at that point. At least I had something else to do with my day.
Yeah. What else did you have to do with your day?
Cry, I think.
Ah, that's good. You know what? Like that, and I know we're talking about previous seasons, and for some people, like, cool, it's old news. But like for us, like I think reliving like previous seasons, that's what I've been doing at least. I've been looking at previous seasons, like, 2013 when Hawthorn started that three-peat. They beat us in that prelim by 5 points, and it's because Varko couldn't kick from 20 metres in front out, and they beat us by five. Like, it's those things that come up that you're right. Like, we talk about it a lot, man. Like, we talk about footy and we talk about all these things, but when there's no current event, there's no season to look forward to at this point. Like, right now, we don't even know if the season's going to go ahead.
It's true. I mean, I go back to the AFLX Grand Final, Melbourne Hawthorn.
AFLX.
That's about all I've got. We're undefeated in that, mate.
Oh my god, that is something I just forgot existed. I just like erased that from my memory. That
it's
even
something you should remember at all.
That is absolutely hilarious. Oh my god, that is AFLX, man. That was something, right? And then what happened after that? Then
it was something. I mean, I guess you kudos for trying, I suppose. They got to try something, yeah. I suppose. Like, the NRL wouldn't do that. So I suppose they were damned if they did, damned if they don't. It just wasn't something that was particularly very good.
And then they did that AFLX with the made-up teams. Remember that?
Yeah. Which was...
That was like the year after, right?
Which I had no interest in at all. Which was... It was like eight... Oh. It was like... Was it four teams or something? Which, for whatever reason, they thought that was a good idea.
It was the worst. Oh, it was just awful. It was just, and I remember them even making fun of it when they were playing. Like you could just see them, like not having a fun time. But you know what? It brings me back to this, and we had the charity bushfire game, right?
Yeah.
At Etihad, and that happened before the season started. Now that was one of the most high scoring games of footy I'd seen in a very long time, and that's just an example of hey. Just pick two teams, put the best people on the park, don't change the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Some people seem to think there was something going on there, like there was a conspiracy that...
Like the AFL Legends games?
Yeah, and like Victoria had to come back because they were like 40 points down or some crap like that. I don't know. I didn't really watch enough of it, but I don't know why you would... Like if it's not broken, don't fix it. I don't know why we have to keep going through all these rules. We've had substitutes. We've had limited interchange. We've had... 666, we've had rush behinds and all this stuff. Like, some of these rules have been very, very good, especially the concussion rule. Substitute rule, I wouldn't mind if it was like, a concussion substitute or something like that. But just some of these rules, just they're not motivated. Like, they're not motivated to actually warrant those rule changes. Like, yeah. Especially, remember that, I think it was it the Richmond game where somebody rushed, like, somebody rushed up behind, like, three times in a row, like, literally without anybody touching the ball. He was kicking it out. I think yeah, I vaguely remember right. that. He rushed, like, two yeah. or three times, and then they basically changed it the next week and said, you can't rush anymore.
I think that actually... That actually only reason, sorry to interrupt, the only reason I'm interjecting is I definitely know what that was when that happened was, and are you talking about the 08 grand final?
I don't think it was a grand final. I don't know.
Because the 08 grand final, there was Geelong had 21 behinds or something. So I don't know, maybe not that many, but there was, but like half of them were rushed. And I remember that year proceeding, then that I think Joel Bowden. No.
Yeah, that's the one I remember. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was the next year, or it might have been that same year actually when that happened. But yeah, anyways, that I remember that being just a big thing, and they changed it the next week. And that's you're right, like that had validity in it, to some regard. But there's a lot of rules that are just changing for the sake of it. How did
that happen though? Like that's somewhat of a tactic. You're giving the other team another point. There should be a rule where maybe you can't do it more than however many times, but.
Yeah.
That rule has caused so much confusion with like, oh, was he under pressure? Did he deliberately do that?
Mm. I think it's to stop like
interpretation, especially like out of bounds as well.
I think it's to stop. I'm bringing examples back to like the 08, but I'm also going to bring back to like 2013 grand final whatever grand final it was where Hawthorn played Fremantle. Remember that one?
Yeah, I think it was 12 or 13.
Yeah, and they absolutely obliterated Fremantle for three quarters. But I'm not blaming this rule, but it's one thing where the last quarter, Fremantle caught up. Like, they only lost by, like, 9 points, I think, in the end. But they were down by, like, 40 points at one point. Yeah. So I think – and the reason that I got from it and a couple of journalists got from it was that people weren't rushing it behind. So when when you used to be able to kick it in the back half, and then if you panicked, you could just rush it.
Mm, yeah.
You couldn't do that. So people were kicking it, you know, Hayden Ballantyne got like six touches in that inside 50 in that last quarter because he got the ball kicked to him heaps of times because they were panicked because they were like, shit, I want to try and wind down the clock, but I can't because I can't rush it. Yeah. And I think that's what they were trying to stop was, you know, that last quarter fade out. And I get why that was put in place. And that's just my opinion though, but that's why I think that rule was put in.
There's examples of when it has worked and when it doesn't work. I think it's just the AFL need to stop looking for things to change for the sake of it.
Yeah, no, and I agree for that. For that AFLX, I'm trying to think of like some rule changes that brought. There was a couple of rules bloody pitched by, you know, flogs like Kane Corns and Brian Taylor and stuff like that, where they were trying to say, you know, certain elements of the game should be changed just because they want to be radical. They want to say something that's controversial. And I agree with you there. They shouldn't even be considered.
I mean, they're thinking of even permanently changing it. I mean, I think it's just been suggested by journalists that it will be 17 and a half minutes permanently after we get back to football.
And I don't agree with that. I agree with one thing though. They should possibly have it as just 17 rounds, like the NFL.
Yeah, not the worst thing. It only seems a lot different because of what we've got now. It makes it a lot fairer. The only idea I had was you have 17 rounds, then you play like another six rounds or something. And then the next year, you won't play those teams twice again. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. It's just the luck of the draw.
I like that because the problem at the moment you have is there's too many blockbuster games that have been doubled up, like the showdown. And I have no passion of anything towards the showdown or the derby or the derby or whatever they call it because they've played obviously twice a year. And it's just like, cool, you won the trophy.
Showdown 489.
Yeah, right? Like I have no care for it. And I'm trying to think of other games that are like that. Oh, dude, like I love... Geelong Hawthorn on Easter Monday, but I hate watching the Geelong Hawthorn game in round 18 every year that happens like 12 rounds later.
Yeah.
Because like you've just seen an epic. Easter Monday is always remembered. No one remembers the other game. The only other game that was ever remembered was the game that Hawkins kicked that goal after the siren, and that's it. Every other game has been happening on Easter Monday.
Yeah, and then even with like the Collingwood one, we'll play Collingwood round 11, sometimes round 12, and then I remember, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, we played them around 12 and then we played them, I think, around 15 or 16.
Yeah, like, and it loses its meaning, and I get it. Like, if you have, like, your pitch actually makes sense. Like, hey, if I had to happen this year but doesn't happen next year, then I'm all for it. But, yeah, playing the same teams twice in a year and every year is starting to become a bit old for me, because I don't remember the last game I went to that was Geelong, North Melbourne, because it only happens once a year. But I can remember every Geelong Hawthorn game because there was probably six of them in a year, considering we might meet in finals as well.
I'm not a professional sportsman. I don't professionally play AFL, but I feel like 17 is a bit short, but then they need to find a way to make it a bit fairer.
There was also that pitch that I think Eddie Maguire had, and I'm not trying to say that he's, you know, God's gift or anything, but he did make a mention that there could be a wild card round, and I only recently got into the NFL probably in the last 12 months. As a Baltimore Ravens fan now, mainly because I went to the game in the States, but from watching it and then watching how the playoffs played with the wild card round, I was absolutely gripped and entertained, and I'd only been watching the sport for 12 months, so I can't imagine how good it would be. But I guess it does change the finals work.
They're even getting an extra wild card round next year. They just recently changed that.
What's that?
There's two extra teams going to be in the. Is it four extra teams? I can't remember if it was two or four. They're going to have an extra wildcard round, so it's pretty much, instead of two games, it's three games.
And this is for the NFL, right?
Yeah, so that would make it four, yeah. A wildcard round, maybe, but it sort of defeats the purpose of having a top eight. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I'm only thinking of it as lengthening the process, giving maybe lower teams an extra chance. You know, if you finish in the top eight, great. Top six, that'd be great. And then maybe from seven to, I don't know, I'm trying to think, 7 to 12, would it be? I don't know. Like,
isn't an elimination final a wild card weekend of sorts?
Yeah, kind of, I guess. But, I mean, it happens on the same weekend as the qualifying finals. So I guess, I don't know, I'm just picking from what I learned from the past NFL season, but being able to see the elimination round and then see who you would play the next week has already got an advantage, because there's nothing worse to me. I guess I'm saying this as a hurt Geelong fan from losing the qualifying final last year, but Brisbane Lions, I'm giving that as a massive example. They finished top, right? Didn't they?
No, they finished top. Second, weren't they?
Second, right? But they were top four, and then they lost. So, therefore, they play a semi-final elimination the next week. And I'm like, damn, man, they finished second. It almost means that you doesn't matter where you are now. It doesn't, like, Geelong's finished on top of the ladder probably three or four times in the last couple years. And honestly, man, like, I'm not trying to make it easier for us, but I'm just trying to say there should be kind of some reward for it, considering you're not going to get a draft pick the next year, and you know, you could go out in straight sets like Brisbane.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
but yeah, that's just again an opinion piece of a biased.
I think there's a lot of things that are going to be discussed once, maybe not this year, but next year, once there's some sort of normalcy as to what happens, you know. Then, but they're saying there might not be any rookie lists. There might not be any like. VFL teams affiliate, you know how there's like some teams that like Sandringham and Casey, etc. They've all just like a standalone a lot of things that might change.
I mean, it's exciting because, you know, sometimes change is good, but I also, you know, fearful for the fact that change is also bad sometimes.
I mean, was it the Northern Blues? They've been around for 130 years and they're essentially non-existent anymore.
Yeah. Were they the Northern Bull Ants they used to be called?
I was Carlton's affiliate.
Yeah, Northern Bull Ants. They used to have the white jersey with a red ant on it, yeah.
That's right, they were the Northern Bull Ants, and now they're the Northern Blues, or they were.
Yeah, like that's a big one as well. But I guess my question to you now is, when do you think, you know, a hypothetical grand final could be if the season was to proceed this year? There's rumours that it could be Christmas Eve, it could be New Year's Eve.
Well, I think the other... press. I don't think it matters. I think the thing that matters is it going to be at the MCG because of the cricket?
I would bet that... So I read an article that said that the MCG are flexible with it, which I highly doubt.
From all the articles I've read, they were that the cricket holds the rights to it. But then I read an article, or I saw a headline. I shouldn't say I read it. I saw a headline a couple of days ago that said the AFL actually holds the power. And if there's no crowds there, they might be able to do it. I don't know.
Well, that was another one. Like, I don't know how I would feel. Like, if your team won the flag this year and it was played at Marvel Stadium, because the AFL owns Marvel Stadium, so it can do whatever it wants. So I would almost bet that if it's not at the G, it's at Marvel. Would you feel any less about it?
I mean, would you feel any less the fact that there's 17 rounds, maybe lesser quarters, no crowds, and you win the flag? Like, would you take that? Okay, as somebody who's won plenty of flags,
yeah,
in the last, you know, 10 years, 15 yeah. years, would you take that? How would you feel about winning that?
It's funny, like, the last 6 weeks I've had like lucid dreams about footy. Like, I've had dreams where, like, I imagine they're playing at Marvel and they're like holding up the cup and no one's there, and
or you are the ball or something.
Yeah, like weird ones like that. Like, just I had weird dreams that there was three teams playing in the grand final, like they're simultaneously happening. It was just because I miss the sport and I've got a weird brain. But I think for me, I don't know. I think I wouldn't feel any less, I think, when it happened. So I think if you're outside looking in, like you're not the team that won the flag, you probably don't give a toss. Like, you're probably like, yeah, cool, that's tainted, it's whatever. But in the same regard, if you did win it and you did play 17 rounds, if they got to play all 17 rounds, I'd still probably take it personally. I mean, if I was a player.
You know, there's an argument to say it doesn't count, it's void or whatever. But there's another argument to say they've had to deal with all this. It's been very strenuous. Everyone's been on the same page and they just did it better than everyone else.
And I think that's one thing people need to understand, because I think there's going to be a lot of excuses from other supporters, and I'm sure it'll come from me at one point during the season if it does occur. But I think there's going to be these excuses that, oh, but, you know, if it wasn't for COVID, my team smashed this team by 60 points last time and we lost by 60 points this time. Can't you see that it affected us? And it's like, yeah, well, as you said, Jamie, it affected everyone. So it's a level playing field. So with what you've just said, I'm actually going to change it. I'd probably say I'd still be okay with it. Whether I would be okay with it being played at Marvel is probably my only question to it. If it was played at the G, I would take it.
That's just tradition, isn't it? I feel like this would be a very Melbourne thing to do.
to win a flag.
Come back to me in 6 months and I'll let you know how I feel about it.
If Melbourne, okay, 6 months' time, Melbourne win the flag, right? It's played at Marvel Stadium in front of no one. You've played 17 rounds and you've been the best team all year. So top of the table, not winning it from seventh or eighth. You've won it from top of the table. Would you take it?
I fucking hate Docklands.
Yeah, so do I. I literally, the reason, like, you told me, wouldn't I have an issue with 17 rounds? I wouldn't have an issue with that. Do I have an issue with quarter length? No, but I have an issue with Marvel Stadium. That place is dog shit.
Yeah, it's like the worst, yeah, it's like the worst man-made thing ever.
Yep, simple as that.
But do you think if the Premier League, if they play no more games, do you think there should be a winner awarded, which would obviously be Liverpool?
See, this is one that I'm gonna answer with another question to you, which is, you're saying that they end it now, so there's no other rounds.
Well, they don't end it now, but they don't get any time to play it.
Okay, so that it's just run out of time, right? Yep. I would award it. Now, here's where I'm coming from, because I have a similar predicament with Celtic. So Celtic is top of the table by 13 points in the Scottish Premier League, and they are in the exact same boat. They've played the same amount of rounds. The only difference is Liverpool have such a massive lead. Wait, like, it's bigger than 13 points. Like, 13 points is still big, but yours is obviously a lot larger.
The thing is, though, they're still mathematically, they could still lose. If they lost every game, they would still mathematically lose it to Manchester City. Where's the point in which you say, maybe this will happen, where they say, if you played every team once, then that's, and the round, you know, it doesn't get to be finished, then that you take the results from what has happened. But there's no current rule for that. So how many games qualify, sort of thing?
I see what you mean. Well, I mean, outside looking in, Liverpool have been the best team by a long shot. Not
objectively,
by a
they definitely have been.
Yeah, like they have been like insanely good. Now, I'm going to ask you a question about, I guess, the league that I support and watch in the SPFL. I'm definitely agreeing with Liverpool being awarded it, mainly because they've got a massive point difference. And I know that it could mathematically happen, but if you go off your track record, you've only lost one game, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to happen. Like, they're not going to lose. Even if we return, they're not going to lose it. But it's just a thing of, like, how many games are enough? Mm. And what do you do about the teams that are going to be relegated? I heard an argument that they won't relegate them and they'll just promote the two teams at the top or the three teams at the top and just have a 23-24 team league.
See, that exact motion or I guess idea is being pitched for the SPFL as well. So the Scottish Premier League, same thing. They're saying, hey, there's only 12 teams in the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah.
And their playoffs is a little different, I'm pretty sure. I think there is no guarantees of going up. I think you just qualify for a playoff. If you relegated, if you got relegated, right? So say you finish bottom of the SPFL, you actually get a second chance to play the playoff.
Do you play the winner of the? Do you play the team that came second in the lower league?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah, dude, I'll be honest. Celtic have never been in this position before, so I'm very lucky. So I never really tune into that's part of the season. So that's awful. But I'm definitely sure it's something like that, or at least it's a similar thing to the EPL. But my point is that Celtic are 13 points in front. But the difference with them is they didn't dominate all season like they have the last 8 years. To get 9 in a row this year, the New Year break, they had just lost to Rangers, and Rangers were on top of the table by, I think, 6 points or something. And then Celtic was able to turn it around after the break and then get 13 points ahead. So where do you say there? Because your argument is valid, I guess, more valid in the SPFL, because think about it. Your point is right. It's still a couple of games left to play. Technically, if it swayed that much in a short amount of time, it could probably sway the other way. So with your argument with the Liverpool, it's completely not valid, because you have only lost one game, whereas Celtic, on the other hand, haven't been in that position.
It's probably not as hard for them, because if they were to say, look, it's null and void, they've won like 9 in a row, so it's not a big deal.
Then
again, you could say they've won 9 in a row, so they're leading now. It's just it's bad luck. Like, if this happened a week, 3 weeks earlier, they wouldn't have won it, but it's just the timing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question that everyone has. But I think the big deal is, and it sounds very, very selfish, but the SPFL is very different from the Premier League in that it's really only a two-horse race. It's only ever been a two-horse race in the last probably decade. Even when Rangers weren't in the league, it was just Celtic dominating. No one else could compare. And then it would be this. But the record is 10 in a row, right? So the record is to get 10 in a row. So Rangers got 9 in a row and Celtic stopped the 10 in the 90s. And that was a big deal. So they stopped them getting the 10 record. Rangers are trying to stop that record. So if you null and void it, then technically 10 in a row is dead. So
it's not, though. They've won 9 in a row. There was none in the 2020 season. And they won it the 2021 season, 10 in a row. I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard, because that's a logical thinking. That's very logical. whereas, unfortunately, I guess Rangers fans and other fans aren't that way. But I won't harp on about another it too
thing,
much.
When you're going to have another thing of when people say, no, there's an asterisk there, it doesn't count. They didn't win 10 in a row.
Yeah, and that's the thing I don't want. I want us to play the rest of the game. So they're saying we're going to give you an unlimited amount of time, but it has to be done before the end of the year. And that's where I'm kind of like, shit, if this doesn't happen, then, we're going to have a tainted title. I know that we'll because they're not thinking about voiding it. That's definitely been thrown off the table.
I watched some of the SPFL. I don't know if it's the same, though. What, they start the season in March?
Yeah. I think they start a week earlier and then finish a week earlier.
Of time. Like, they're pretty fit athletes. Even if they had, like, a short, very short off season, I think they'd be okay. I think they'll fit in, both of them. It's just of when they, like, if there has to be a cutoff at some point, but I don't think it'll happen. They play, like, 4 games in a week and a half period anyway.
Well, that's the argument that a lot of people have, but then that's that argument of, oh, but Celtic may be not be may not be as good if they're playing four games a week, because they've had the luxury of, you know, before. But like that's the big thing for me at the moment is that's what's on my brain is hey, if Celtic are going to win the title or not. But and the same thing happens for a Liverpool fan, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, as I've said with Melbourne, it'd be a very Liverpool thing for them to not win the season only because it was null and void.
Mm. Is that conversation still on the table? I know that UEFA have told the European leagues there is a cutoff date that they have to end all their seasons. But I haven't heard anything on the EPL.
Is that a cutoff date to start or a cutoff date to be finished?
I think it's a cutoff date to be finished.
Yeah, well,
because there's only a few rounds left. There's what, like eight rounds left?
Yeah, if that, yeah. Seven or eight.
Seven or eight, yeah. Like,
I heard yesterday that there was an apparent article leaked that they'll be awarded it if it's null and void. I mean, they'll be awarded it if the season's cancelled.
Right. See, that's probably what's... Well, it has happened in other leagues. I'm pretty sure the Belgian league, the team who was only 3 points in front got it. So like, well,
what about the Bulgaria? I think it was the Bulgarian league. They're still playing.
Yeah, Bulgaria, Belarus, and China, and the Taiwan. I think are still playing. So but these are from countries that literally don't believe it exists, but they believe that they're strong enough to just take it. So
yeah, well, exactly.
That's just stupidity at its best, but I don't know, man. This is good. This is good. I feel like I haven't talked any sport at all for 6 weeks, so it's nice to just get it off my chest and have a great discussion about it.
But yeah, I've been watching I haven't watched the news a lot, but whenever I'd go to the news and see sport, they're just clutching. They're just going to whatever they can to try and report some sport news. I will say though, I've been an esports fan for quite a while, and esports has picked up a lot in the past month, 2 months. You know, they've got all these professional players or drivers or whoever playing these esports in these esports tournaments or exhibitions now. And it's getting a very good rap. Like previously, it's been pretty negative towards how people feel about it. But as of recent, it's been pretty positive. I know there was a Bathurst race recently, which was apparently really, really awesome.
And this was virtually done through a game, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was. I think it was. I can't remember that one. I can't remember what it was. But it's as much of a simulation as you can get. And I know there was like 10 or 20 drivers from their home that were racing, treating it as if it was real sort of thing.
That's so cool. Like that's really cool. So I think that's a 10 or 20 like actual. Like
I believe drivers. So, yeah. I know there was, I believe so.
So cool. See, that's the kind of stuff that I do see the good in what's happening. Like it's bringing people together to unite and do those things. And I know a lot of sports like stars and stuff are trying to like interact with their fans and stuff. So that's a really cool thing.
Like there's been like Charles Leclerc and Verstappen and a few of the other ones, Albon, have been racing in the F1 as well.
Nice.
Amongst other stars and other races. I know Jensen Button's been doing it. And there's also been... what was the other one? Oh, I've gone blank now. But it's interesting to see how they sort of treat it
as well.
Because like they're competitive spirits, but it's also just a video game, how they think. Because there was one report about a guy who was... He actually races in NASCAR and he... He basically just gave up, and so then he got his contract ripped up, and they said we don't want to deal with you again.
Right.
Because like I mean, there's sponsorship to be. I mean, depending on what you're racing is, there's sponsorship to earn, there's prize money and everything, representation. So it's a pretty serious thing.
Yeah, I mean, esports was so funny because in Australia, I remember some footy teams were trying to affiliate their esports teams and do certain, I guess. Events I don't know what is it, like the Essendon Footy Club did it and then Adelaide did it
and I think Essendon have since dissolved that club but
that's
it's something that's very niche at the moment. Like there's not a lot of prize money depending on what you're playing, especially in this country, but it is something that's gaining popularity. There was a Rocket League incident recently where a team were playing in a best of five. They're up 2-0 as in two matches to nil. They're up two matches to nil. And then they lost the next two, which means they now couldn't make the playoffs. Just how the tiebreak works. So they basically two of the three players basically just gave up for the next match, and they were just basically just running into each other, driving around, giving away goals.
Wow.
One player was actually, it looked like he was actually trying to give it a go. So pretty much after that match, they were pretty much all just basically told to leave the team.
That's amazing, because esports is something that I'm not inclined to, or I watch like people on Twitch play games, but I don't think I've ever watched like a competitive event. I think the closest I got was watching like 6 months ago, watching the World of Warcraft World Firsts event, where they basically had like teams who were literally battling it out to be the first people to beat a certain boss.
But there's a lot of, I mean, I don't know if that was pro league necessarily, but there's a lot of, for World of Warcraft and League of Legends and Dota, I know there's a lot of prize money. I'm talking $1 million. So
yeah,
for that kind of thing, representation and trying, and that's very important. But also for a lot of those games, it's hard to tell if they're actually trying or not.
Yeah, the personality needs to be there, right? Like, they need to be...
Well, how can you tell if you're playing like a first-person shooter? How can you tell that they weren't just outplayed, or they just missed their shots, or, you know? Unless you're physically like crawling on the ground, how can you tell if somebody is actually trying?
But can you tell from what I meant by personality? Sorry, I meant like their do they have a video of them that you can see?
Well, you could, yeah. I mean, there are voice comms and webcam. I suppose if you had a suspicion, you could look at that. Yeah,
watch it back, because that would be my thing. Because I know, and I mean, you and me know when we play games, and especially you with like, remember FIFA back in the day? We'd play like you'd see on your face if you were angry, and if you were gonna you would never throw a game, but like I know there's some people, their way of cracking the shits is being visibly upset, but also stopping playing, like just, you know, throw the remote or just don't even try, and just they look obviously disinterested.
The problem with that is, and especially nowadays, given the current situation, but most of the time, generally anyway, it's played online, unless the finals are on where it's played locally. So when it's played online, they don't usually have webcams or voice comms. Like, they might have voice comms for their team, but it's not usually going to be listening necessarily.
So that, I guess, they all obviously all don't have webcams, and it might be too hard to do that, right?
I mean, I don't know the intricates, but there are certain standards you have to have. Like, there might be a certain thing where you have to have teams, you have to have your chat client on, and there has to be an admin in there. I know that in certain ones you have to have certain programs running, otherwise it's deemed that you're cheating, because those applications check for, you know, hacks or whatever.
Yeah, shit. Yeah, I never thought of
it,
that.
It's quite. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people aren't open to it at all. But as someone who's like played some games pretty seriously, I'm talking about casually, not professionally, but someone who plays these games quite a lot, it's when you actually see it being played, you know, professionally, it's quite interesting.
It's obviously enjoyable. Like,
I mean, if you look up like FIFA on Twitch and you see like, that they're always playing that competitively. It's insane.
Yeah, like I know there was recently, before this whole thing happened, there was it was like the FIFA like game World Cup, like they had, but it was Club Cup, like they had Roma had a team.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Chelsea or someone have a team, but then, and the weird thing is, you'd have that, and then there would be a team that wasn't affiliated with the club, like it would be like
it would have been an esports team, I would say.
Yeah, an actual esports team, yeah. And they've got like a name and everything, and like, you know, I'm trying to think of a name, but I'm pretty sure one of them was called like the Bolts, like Lightning Bolts, like they had, that was this insignia. Anyways.
Yeah.
That was an example of it. And then that's an example of integrating. What I found interesting was integrating two, I guess, worlds, really. The professional world of I guess, soccer in general, and then the esports world, and merging the two together. So it's good to hear that that's actually kind of happening, really, if you think about it, when it comes to, like, you know, celebrity sports stars joining in on the fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's certainly interesting for those. You know, those sports stars can still do, I guess, what they do as a profession, I suppose, in a way. So they can still have a job, I suppose, or they just give people, you know, a way to get entertainment still. I think there's actually a tennis one coming up.
Oh, cool.
I don't know
what are they going to be playing it on.
I hope it's not Tennis World Tour.
That is trash. I've been playing. I got AO Tennis 2 on my Switch, and I love it. I think it's one of the most the best tennis games since Top Spin.
Yeah, I mean it probably is. I've got a little bit of issues with it, but it has been updated since. I don't know whether they'll be playing that or they'll be playing Tennis Highway, which is like a actual simulator.
Cool.
But I think that's coming up. Yeah, I think Nadal's in it, and there's a bunch of other top 20 players, I think, as well.
Sweet. Oh, I mean, I'd be down to watch that too. I think that's a cool thing as well, is like people's like sleep patterns are off. So it's probably the only time you could stay up and watch something like that if it's live in Europe and it's 4 in the morning here.
Fucked.
You're right. Like, you always used to get up for the NFL. I don't even know how you did it. Like, I did it for most games because I knew I got really into the NFL. But even then, like, you were getting up to watch games that weren't even your team. Like, you'd text me, like, hey, watching the Ravens game? I'm like, yeah, why are you watching it? And you're like, oh, no, just because I love NFL. I'm like, man, that's crazy to me.
I used to just sort of just watch the Patriots. And then as the years went on, as I grew more fond of the game, I started watching just any game or just Red Zone. Red Zone's like one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Just one of the greatest programs. Just every game that's being played, major highlights, just flicks between them when it's live. It's a pity AFL can't do that, but they don't play games, you know,
simultaneously.
Yeah.
See, I knew Red Zone before, obviously getting into the NFL, mainly because you were the one who got me into it, saying, "Hey, if you don't really like NFL but you want to see what it's like, these are the best parts and it'll show you live." And I'm like, that's pretty cool. I definitely like it when my team's not playing, but I think when your team's playing, you kind of want to be fixated on it.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it when my team's playing, which is a shame because that's often when, you know, some of the good games are on. But yeah, it's really, really good.
I found myself watching a lot of, obviously because my sleep patterns, and I actually, my regular days off are Mondays and Tuesdays. So watching a game that had happened at like there would be a game at 8:15, like, and then it would be a game at like 12 or 11 a.m. or 12 p.m. And I loved it. It was like their primetime games, like the primetime Sunday night game, primetime Monday night game. And the Sunday game would be on the Monday, and then the Monday game would be on the Tuesday for us. And I loved it. And I watched every single, I guess, primetime Sunday and primetime Monday games.
Yeah, I mean, some of the afternoon games actually sync up quite well with our time zone.
So well. Love it. And to be honest, I actually watched a lot of Patriots games because of it, because they got a lot of primetime slots being, you know, previous champions.
They're always on 7, and everyone is always complaining that, oh, it's always the Patriots and all this stuff. But
that's how it is. It's nothing to do with broadcast rights. It's to do with the way that if your team's good, you're going to want to watch them,
yeah,
right?
I mean, it might not happen next year. But Channel 7 wanted all the viewership, so that's what happened.
Mm. And I mean, I watched it on ESPN, which I quite enjoyed. They got the I'm sure it's the same telecast, but it's just different ads.
Yeah, I mean, they got like one or two more games though. But it's good that they don't generally show the same match, which is pretty good because you get more of a variety. It's a pity they lost Red Zone though. Hopefully they get it back. Not that I have it, but
yeah. I only ever streamed Red Zone through ESPN back when it was available, like as a show. Yeah. Now it's only a subscription paid service.
Well, I don't know what Foxtel is showing at the moment in terms of sport.
I've basically got the Foxtel Go app because I'm mooching the application off my dad's account, but my mum and dad's account, but like I've flicked through it. I watched like the Fox Footy had like 50 games, 50 top games, yeah, 50 years or whatever.
Not one Melbourne game.
If it makes you feel better, there was 5 Geelong games and I think only one of them we won.
Well, marginally makes me feel better, I suppose.
So like I was like, oh, Geelong Brisbane. Oh wait, that's the miracle on grass where we lost after being ahead by 53 points. Oh, okay. Like, oh, and it's like, oh, Geelong Hawthorn. Oh, it's the prelim where we lost by a goal. Oh, like, you know, it's funny though, because you do give it appreciation that it takes two to tango, and it means it had to be a good game because both teams were good.
Exactly,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get that. The only one that we did win, I'm pretty sure, out of them was the Geelong. Oh, yeah, there was the 1989 grand final against Hawthorn where we lost as well. But the big one was the Geelong St Kilda game, the 09 There was two versions of it in the top 50. There was the one where Sid Kilda beat us, and it was played at Marvel. Do you remember that one?
Both undefeated, weren't you?
Yeah, that was when we were both 13-13 undefeated, and Michael Gardner kicked a goal with 2 seconds to go or something, and they won the game. And then that same year, we played again in the grand final as the rematch. Another reason why you shouldn't play two teams twice is it was so much better that the rematch was in a grand final.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we played the grand final, and it was just as good, and then, if not better, because Geelong had won. So, the Scarlet toe poke to Ablett and to Chapman to kick the goal. So, that was my experience for Foxtel, and that was about it, because every other thing that's on Foxtel at the moment is just terrible, terrible replays.
I'm sure it is, yeah. They would be kicking themselves.
Definitely. There's a couple, like, I cancelled, I think I had KO Sport. I don't know why I had it. I had it for like a month or two during the summer because they did a good deal, and I just cancelled it immediately. I'm like, cool, what are you going to be playing? Like,
I will say KO is absolutely amazing when there's, in a normal environment.
Yeah.
It's a genius idea. But at the moment, obviously there's no real use for it.
Do you know the kicker of KO is like that there's a lot of people who cancel Foxtel to get KO, right?
Yeah, well, I know that, Foxtel, I don't know if it's them directly or one of their other companies, but they basically...
They own it.
Yeah, they own it. Yeah.
That's what I was alluding to. Yeah, they own it. So people are cancelling it going, I don't want to have Foxtel money. I don't want to give you money. I'm going to go to KO. And they're like, sure, no worries. And the money goes to a different subsidiary.
It's them, exactly, yeah. Which I don't like giving Foxtel money, but... It's a good thing. Like, it's pretty awesome. It's I'd like it to be a tiny bit cheaper, and then I'd be all in. But they're certainly onto something.
I agree. Like, it's what Foxtel had but lacked, like, in terms of ease of use. Like, I would watch Foxtel Go and Foxtel Now, it was called then, where you would pay for a basic package, like you said, add on a sport, but it's like, hey, you want sport? Cool. You have to have the movie package and you have to have the pop package. And I'm like, cool. I don't want to be paying this. I might as well just buy Foxtel. Like, I might as well get a Foxtel box. Because even without a Foxtel box, Foxtel Now was still ridiculously expensive. How much is KO nowadays?
I think it's $25 a month.
It's not bad, not bad. Well, I think it's funny, like, this has been a good conversation between two friends, but now I'm starting to realize, oh my gosh, this is actually a podcast. So we've actually got people who could possibly be listening. So,
I mean, I don't know if we'll include the start of it, but we've slowly, slowly gotten into the groove of things.
I definitely agree. I think we've, it was a slow start, but it's a long conversation. Like, I just looked at the time and I'm like, oh my God, like, we've been on the call for however long. It's been so long. So, we're doing really well.
Yeah, it started off, I started off thinking, gee, how am I going to get out of this? But now I don't want to leave.
Now, yeah, that's it. I kind of feel the same. I'm like, it's not even that I wanted to get out of it. I just felt like I had to muster up some kind of conversation that, might have been fake or not genuine. So it's nice to know that we've still got it.
Well, hopefully we'll have another one at some point before 5 years.
I'm not saying this because I'm trying to make anyone feel better or false hope, but I'd like to think that, if this doesn't work, we could do another one in the next couple of days. But if this does work, then I would suggest this time next week, we could do the same thing.
Fantastic.
But look, listeners, it has been an absolute pleasure to be back. Probably not the best circumstances, obviously not being together. Jamie, I feel like I haven't seen you. I physically haven't seen you in ages, but it's good to physically virtually talk to you and get a good conversation going.
Yeah, it's been a blast. It's good to get back in the swing of things.
I think it'll be good to get a buzzer back and get the old listeners who we did have and hopefully see if they like it. So, Mum, if you're listening, shout out, keep listening. I know that you want to give up on listening to us, but I promise we've gotten better over the last 5 years.
I should have 5 years to prepare.
5 years to prepare for the disappointment that was this podcast. Oh, that's good. Oh, man. Well, look, if it's all right with you, I would probably say this has been successful. I would love us to follow us on our I guess, our social medias. We've got our Twitter account, which is obviously my one being at AO Hodgson. Yours is at underscore Jamie Watt.
That's it.
That's it. And I also suggest you like our Facebook page for more updates and regular content, but also subscribe to our podcast link through Apple Podcasts and Mixer and any kind of form of, I guess, podcast listening that you might be using. So definitely keep it up to date, and would love to speak to you again.
And I mean, there's ideas in the pipeline for this podcast, but it just depends on how things go and the listenership, and might be things coming.
Yeah, tell us what you like. We'll talk about it next week. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.